Welcome to 'Cause We're Nerds, the podcast that covers transgender releases in comics, movies, video games, board games, and much more. I'm your host, Caleb, and with me is my brother, Jacob.
I'm back, baby.
Today, we're looking at the closing of the Skywalker saga, Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker. Does Episode 9 serve as a satisfying conclusion to 41 years worth of storytelling? Is it able to serve as a course correct? Or is it another entry in the folly of Disney Star Wars? Find out on this week's episode of 'Cause We're Nerds. Woo! Jacob, we did it! Episode 100. This is it.
Boom. Triple digits.
I didn't know if we were ever going to make it here.
Well, the most important thing is, Caleb, we've made it. You know, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
It is about the journey. And what a long journey it has been. 2 years we have been doing this podcast now. And wow, it's been some crazy, crazy times.
You wanna know something crazy, Caleb?
What's that?
So I figured out basically the amount of time that we've spent recording. Not editing, but recording.
Wait, just me and you?
No. You really... Yeah, you.
Oh, okay.
So roughly. All right, let me pull it up because I did the math earlier and I want to make sure I got it. Because if I tell you the wrong thing, then that's just going to be not great. All right, so roughly, you have spent 120 hours recording. Now, if you break that down, right, even farther, that means you have spent a solid 5 days recording.
You know, that almost doesn't seem like enough.
Yeah, well, that's just recording. That doesn't even take into account editing or doing extra stuff. That's just purely recording.
Yeah, true. Man, it has been a journey. Back when Zach and I started this, we had kind of talked about doing a podcast for a while, and then we said, in-game, that's it. I finally graduated out of school, so I had some time, and we wanted to do the recap of all the Marvel movies, and we did, obviously. They're in the feed. Go check them out. And then it just kind of grew from there, and obviously things have changed. Zach got busy, and Jacob kind of came on to help us out, and we've had some other guests on the show. But I just want to take a moment and say thank you to everyone who has listened to any episode, not even all of them, just one here or there. Thank you to everyone that's been on the show, Jacob, you included.
Thank you.
And thank you to everyone that's helped me along the way and helped us do some really cool stuff.
And thank you for those also that have gone above and beyond and followed all social medias and commented or shared our stuff. That really helps us out, guys. So thank you for that.
And in true 'Cause We're Nerds fashions, I think this deserves a song.
I do like songs.
We are the champions, my friends. And we'll keep on fighting to the end.
Holds up candle, shuts lights off.
We are the champions. We are the champions. No time for losers, 'cause we are the champions of the world.
That was so beautiful.
Thank you.
Single teardrop fell on my keyboard, short circuited my computer, and now I can't record.
Oh no!
Oh boy. That was great.
Okay. We are here, though, for a very special other occasion. The conclusion of 41 years worth of storytelling of 9 films, 9 episodes, if you will. The conclusion of the Skywalker saga.
Indeed we are. And like you said, 41 years, you know, 9 movies. Well, actually more than just 9 movies. 9 main story movies. You have some other 2, right? 2 side story movies, Solo and Rogue One. You got books that went into it and comic books. And this ends it.
Yeah. Well,
Well, not ends it, but it ends. It ends the story that has been being told for a while.
Yes,
which opens the door to potential new stories.
So before we go too much farther, I do just want to give an obvious shout out that, hey, this is going to be an episode full of spoilers. We are going to talk everything. So if you haven't seen The Rise of Skywalker yet, shut this off. Don't spoil yourself on it, because things happen in the movie that you might not expect. Some things happen in the movie that you might expect. And we don't want to spoil that for you or spoil your enjoyment. So go check it out if you have not already.
Yes, now, IMAX, only way to go.
Yeah, I will agree with that. Before we get too far into this, Jacob, you were not able to record with me last week to talk about your Rise of Skywalker opinions, or sorry, your Last Jedi opinions. So yes. If you can just like real quick in a minute or so, give us your opinions on that film so we know where you're coming from going into this movie.
Okay. So Rise of Skywalker, I did it too. The Last Jedi.
It's easy to do because all three of these movies start with the word "the." I just want to point that out. None of the other trilogies have more than one movie that starts with the word "the," and all three of this trilogy start with the word "the."
Yeah. So The Last Jedi. Definitely threw some plot twist in there, you know, that I wasn't really expecting. However, I rewatched it to record with you, but then I wasn't able to. So this is fresh on my mind. I also watched Force Awakens, obviously, because we recorded that one. So I will start off by saying I don't know why The Last Jedi has as much hate as it does, because I don't think it's a bad movie, right? Let me start off by saying that. I don't think it's a bad movie at all. They definitely did some plot twists that I wasn't expecting. I personally, just my personal opinion, I don't really like what they did with Snoke, how they just kind of tossed him aside. That was really weird to me. I do like the interaction between Kylo and Rey, and that was making me really excited to see how it was going into The Rise of Skywalker and how their relationship would either blossom or just be destroyed, and how their interactions would be with other people. I was also really interested to see what's going to happen to Luke. I thought Luke's ending was really, really fitting. In The Last Jedi, it was the most emotional death between Han Solo and his. So I really enjoyed that, and I wanted to see how that was going to play into The Rise of Skywalker. So just talking about the movie as a whole, I really enjoyed it. Obviously, not the perfect movie, but very, very, very rarely will you ever find a movie perfect. So I think it was very, very well done. I think Rian Johnson did the best that he could using JJ's initial story and kind of spinning it the way that he wanted to spin it. And it was making me excited to come into this movie.
All right. So jumping in, we saw this movie together on opening night on Thursday in IMAX.
Of course.
Which was a good call. Have you been able to see it again since then?
Oh, I have not. Have you?
I did, actually.
What?
There was so much in this movie that I really felt I needed to see it again before we recorded. So
yeah, me too.
So I made some time yesterday. Courtney and I went back again, and we saw it again in a regular theater this time. And let me just tell you, IMAX is the way to go, because we were in this theater, and we were farther back, so we were kind of sitting towards the top of the screen. It was pretty hard to hear some of the stuff that was easily heard in IMAX. It was kind of hard to see some of the stuff that was easily seen in IMAX. And I feel that if I had seen it in a regular theater the first time, I would have missed quite a few things.
So did you catch more things the second time, though?
We will talk about that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So what were your first thoughts about this movie? Like, coming out of it, how did you feel?
You know, Caleb, I felt not satisfied, but not dissatisfied, right? I didn't really know how to feel. You know, I walked out and I was like, what? Like you said, it's just so jam-packed and so much to unravel. I was like, what? Like, what did I just sit through? What exactly was that? I had a few questions. Most of my questions were answered, but I was like, you know, we sat outside the theater. Outside of the theater room, we talked about it for like 20 minutes, you know, with our friends like we normally do. And I didn't really know where to stand. I didn't know if I liked it. I didn't know if I disliked it. I just didn't know. But I've had some more time to think since then.
Right. How do you feel now?
I think I like it. I don't love it. I definitely think, like you said this previously to me in person, you think they jammed 1.5 to 2 movies inside this movie. And I completely agree with that. I think the first half is really, really pushed, and it's trying to get you caught back up to where J.J. Abrams wants you to be. And I think that kind of hurts the movie a little bit. You know, it's you're pushed right into the action. There's a lot of things going on. You're visiting several places at a time, and each place has something big going on. Whereas The Force Awakens jumped around a lot, but however, there were some things that were smaller in different places and some things that were bigger in other places, whereas here, everything's just big. You know, it's everything's huge. Mm-hmm. And it's important to the story, so you can't miss anything. And so I think that's kind of a detriment to the film. However, the second half, I believe, is almost worth the first half. I really, really like the second half. Of course, there's things I don't like, which we'll get into. However, I think as a whole, I like this movie.
Okay. So I'm kind of with you. Coming out of the movie, I was kind of just overwhelmed. I mean, everyone in our 8-person group of friends that went was kind of like, I don't really know what to think about this yet.
Because except for Chris from CNC Powwow, because
he had some opinions, but he wasn't sure what he felt overall. He probably had the most solid opinions out of anyone coming right out of it. But I think this movie just has so much, and there are some interesting decisions in here that it's incredibly hard to know how you feel coming out of it. Even as I spent some time thinking about it afterwards, I'm like, you know, I still don't really know. I don't know how I feel about some things. There's some lines that I wasn't sure I caught correctly, even doing some research. So that's why I ended up going back and seeing it again to see how I would feel. And now that's a pretty big deal for me because I don't like watching movies more than once, almost ever, but like back to back especially. And I had like a day and a half, almost 2 days between seeing it, right? Now, yes. I will say the first time I sat through this, even though I didn't know how I felt about it coming out, while I was sitting there and watching it, I was enjoying it. I was going along. I wasn't really thinking about it. I was just enjoying myself. The second time I went to see this, oh boy, man, was I bored.
Oof.
I think watching it a second time, and you do have to keep in mind, I did see it 2 days earlier, so it could just be the close proximity that I saw it in, although Courtney had pretty much the exact same response. It's the first half or first three quarters, the story is just not enough because the story is so bare bones. It's not interesting. Knowing how those things end up, it's boring. In fact, Courtney got so bored sitting there watching that she got up and she went out of the theater, which neither of us ever do, went and got candy, not because she was hungry, but because she wanted something to entertain herself.
Wow.
Yeah, the second time is a much, much different experience. And I would argue, at least for me, it was much worse.
Okay. That really makes me not want to go see it again.
I was not as bored as Courtney was, but I was still sitting there thinking, I mean, this could be a lot better. How much longer is left?
Yeah. I could see how it could potentially be that, because the first time, you're too busy being overwhelmed. Right. You can't be bored because you're too busy being overwhelmed. Now, the second time, knowing exactly what's happening, even if you're looking for new stuff, I could definitely see, especially since you went from IMAX to a smaller screen, you know, I could definitely see how that would just not play as big of a hand as the first time seeing it.
And you mentioned kind of that I had said previously that I felt like they stuck 1.5 to 2 movies in this film. And I agree with that. I think that if JJ had done all three movies, I don't think this would have been his third movie. I think everything would have been different. But if you take if you ignore that and say for a second that this still would have been the same movie, I think that episode 8, the mid-movie climax, would have been the reveal that Palpatine is back. And then this movie would have been all the stuff that they're trying to do to stop him.
Oh, I agree.
I think that would have made
for much better movie experience.
Yeah, and I agree, because it's really weird in this movie. Watching it the second time, you get all the Palpatine stuff at the beginning, where it's basically an exposition dump about he's back, Snoke was no one, all these things. And then he's kind of out of the movie for quite a while. He's barely in it until the end. And so I think that you could have very easily extracted that into a different movie.
Yeah, also, it makes me curious that they did this. I wonder if JJ's plan the entire time was to make Snoke a clone.
I doubt it.
You know, like, I want to know if his original plan was Snoke was actually a person, you know, or if maybe he was cloning him, or I don't know. I really kind of want to see where that was going, because I think that could have been a really interesting storyline. But something really hard about these movies is, obviously, J.J. Abrams started out with The Force Awakens, and he had, you know, he had an image of what he wanted. You know, he had a view of what he wanted in all three of the movies. But then they switched to, you know, Rian Johnson for the second movie, and Rian Johnson was like, oh, hey, you know, I know what I want to do. So he changed J.J.'s story. But then the problem is, of course, like everybody knows, J.J. came back, and he's like, oh, great, you know. Rian Johnson changed a little bit. And so I feel like this was a hard dynamic between the two directors to come back, for both directors to come to a story that you didn't originally have a plan in, and that specific movie set beforehand, and trying to make your idea of what Star Wars should be come out of it.
Yeah, and I think for this one in particular, they had a lot of challenges coming in. However, I think a lot of those were self-imposed challenges.
Yeah.
Because JJ coming into this said that he wanted to close not only this trilogy, but the entire saga. And I think that is something in itself that is incredibly difficult to do. So you're really handicapping yourself when you do that. On top of that, you had the death of Carrie Fisher, who was supposed to be a major player in this movie. So that was another major handicap. And then they decided, because of the response to The Last Jedi, that they wanted to, in some ways, quote unquote, fix those issues. And so he had all of these things coming into this. And honestly, I think if he would have just focused on making this the conclusion to this trilogy, it would have probably been a better and more focused movie. Because this movie, like, the storyline is actually really simple when you get down to it. But the stuff that it does with that story, it's kind of complicated. It's not very easily followed. It's easy to get lost because there's jumping around so much. There's many, many characters in here who really don't need to be in here at all. And I think if you would have streamlined that, it would have made it, if not better, at least a bit more understandable on the first watch.
I agree. I think, like you said, I think he had too many things to handle. You know, I was going to say something and it was going to sound really smart, and then I forgot what I was going to say. Wow. It was something about, oh yeah. This wasn't what I was going to say. Sorry, my throat's bothering me a little bit today. So if I cough a little bit, I apologize for that. But also, another self-imposed struggle that JJ had is, we briefly mentioned it, I think, in The Force Awakens, maybe. However, JJ likes to do this thing of the mystery box. Mm-hmm. You know? How he likes to start a mystery out, but he doesn't know how it's going to end. And so I am curious as to if Rian Johnson's inclusion into The Last Jedi helped him unravel that box, or if he had a semi-idea and it was just almost completely thrown off by that second movie. And so the fact that he didn't know exactly how it was going to end when he started it, and then coming back after another director had directed it, I feel like it gave him some benefits because he wasn't locked down, but at the same time, his whole idea of what he wanted to do up until the mystery was thrown off. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I definitely think, I know he had notes that he gave to Rian Johnson. I don't know if they were the answers, but I think that he kind of just threw those out. Ryan Johnson did. And so yeah. I think that really caused him to go back and try to refigure some things out. Because there's a lot of things that don't really jive together when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout like the whole trilogy. So there's things like that. And in fact, there's some specific instances I want to talk about coming from The Last Jedi. But I'll probably get to that in a little bit. What I want to mention first is some of the things I did like about this movie. And I think that the strongest, most memorable, and best stuff in this movie is pretty much anything that has to do with Kylo Ren and Rey.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I think that their relationship throughout the majority of this movie is really, really compelling. I think that's something that is carried forward from The Last Jedi. And it's in a way that I wouldn't have necessarily expected, because Kylo Ren's descent in The Last Jedi, I kind of thought that he would be more anti-Rey, but he really just wants to connect with her again. And I think that in a lot of ways, it's more like a sibling bond for the majority of the film. And that conflict that they have and the conversations they have are really, really great. And it brings out some of the best acting in the whole movie.
Oh, I completely agree. My favorite scenes are the ones where they're together. Out of this entire movie, it's such a wide dynamic between them two. And we've seen totally different sides of them in the past movies, but we've also seen them team up. So coming into this movie, I didn't really know what to expect, you know.
Especially with the fake out in the trailers of Evil Rey.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And then you have, not only you didn't know what to expect, but then in this movie, you have both sides of it. You have them fighting together, but you also have them fighting with each other. And I think that's a really, really cool dynamic to have in the same movie, and to see how that progresses throughout the movie to change the tone.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're really good. I do like that all of our main characters, the good guys at least, are together through the majority of the film. I think that helps the film a lot, because if you look back at the previous two, they're not. Like, they're actually very much separated for a large portion of those films. And we get some really nice interactions here that we wouldn't have gotten otherwise.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree.
I think that the brotherhood between Poe and Finn has gotten deeper, and they're really fun to watch. You know, they argue and they fight, but they work really well together. I think that's really good. It's interesting that they took Rose and they made her such a minor character here.
That is literally, so I have a list of things that, I didn't like. I have a list of surprises, then I have a list of questions. And that's one of my things that I didn't like. You know, Rose was such, I'm not saying I necessarily liked her character in the last movie. She's okay. But to take her and give her such a big role in The Last Jedi and then not do anything with her at all in this film, I think that that's just not right. You know, even at the beginning of the movie, if they would have explained, you know, she was going somewhere or she was responsible for this or something, but you don't know what she's doing the entire movie. And that's weird. It shocked me to not see her, actually.
Like, yeah.
I was just surprised. I thought maybe her and Poe were going to have some, or her and Finn were going to have some more scenes together. But nothing. And that was just really weird to me.
Yeah, it's also weird, I think, with Maz Kanata being in here. When she was first introduced in The Force Awakens, she's like really spunky and loud. And she's even that way in her little bit in The Last Jedi. But here, she's like really subdued the entire time, really phoned in. It didn't really feel like her. It felt like she'd aged 50 years and now is old and decrepit. And they used her basically as a crutch to explain things about Leia that they couldn't explain using Leia because they were limited in the footage that they had. And mm-hmm. To me, that is so boring and so lazy. There is many, many times where I feel someone else in the scene could have said it and it seemed more natural. And there are scenes where I don't think it needed anything, because it basically, if you watch it a second time, anytime something happens with Leia, and then she shows up and explains what just happened or what's about to happen. And that's like her only purpose in this movie. And I think that's a really big waste of her.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think she was such a cool and dynamic character that we haven't really seen before in Star Wars. I don't know what it is, just the her charisma, maybe, which is something fresh to me. And I really enjoyed her in Force Awakens. Like, I really, really did. And then The Last Jedi, you know, she wasn't there a lot, but she was still cool. And like you said, she doesn't play a big part in this film. And I don't know if that's because this movie was so jam-packed already that there just wasn't room for a minor character like her to kind of shine through. But I think that the movie could have been enriched with just a little bit more scenes from her.
I would go the opposite way. I would cut her completely.
Really?
Yeah, I think that it's too many characters, and there are enough other characters around the base, which is where she is the entire time, that could have done the same thing.
But I think, here's my thing, is if you're going for the end of a trilogy, you know, I want to see all the characters that have been represented in the trilogy. You know, at least that have had significant parts with the main characters. And she did. So even if she would have been in the scene where trying to figure out how to take out the fleet of Star Destroyers, but she wasn't even there. You know, she's like one of the smartest people, and she wasn't even there trying to help them decide what to do. And it was just, that whole thing was just kind of weird to me. They were just like, oh yeah, we know how to do it, just shoot the gun. Like, what? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in this movie like that. In fact, when we talk about things I liked versus things I didn't like, I've said almost everything that I can say that I liked, except that there's some really nice visuals. Like,
oh, I have a whole list of things that I don't like that I want to get into.
Right. Like, the movie looks beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But that only takes you so far. So, let's shift for a moment and maybe talk about some of the things we didn't like as much. And maybe things we had questions about. One thing that I really, really did not like, and I caught this the first time, is how many fakeouts are in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
There are, at minimum, 5 death fakeouts in this movie. We've got Chewie. We've got C-3PO. We've got Ben when he's stabbed with his lightsaber. We've got Ben when he's pushed down the hole at the end. And we have Rey.
Mm-hmm.
5 fakeouts. That is way, way too many. The more you do that, the less people believe anyone's going to die, and it just lessens the impact every single time you do that, and it just got on my nerves so much.
I completely agree, and if you are going to do a fake out, you need the character, I think, to come back in a dramatic way. You know, like, C-3PO's comeback, that's super lame. Absolutely super lame. That's one of the things I hate about this movie the most. You don't take a beloved character like that and kill them, essentially, and then bring them back and then be like they were in the very, very first, you know, appearance that they ever made in Star Wars. I hated that. I wish he would have stayed dead. I thought that was kind of emotional, you know, whenever he was like, I'm taking one last glance at my friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That hit, you know. And then when they bring him back to say the thing, I wish he would have just fallen over dead again. But he comes back and then he goes with them, and that just cheapens the whole death scene that you just did.
I agree.
And then the only fake out that I think I like is maybe, okay, I like 2 fake outs in this film, actually. I like the fake out with Rey and Kylo bringing her back. I like that. You know, it shows the relationship between the two and it shows how much he cares. I do like that. And I also like the fake out with Kylo, you know, when Rey stabs him, because it shows how much she cares, and at the end of the film, it shows that he cares just the same amount, you know, so I like those two, but I wish those two were the only fake outs in here. Like, even if they weren't fake outs, I wish the other ones just would have, I don't know, it's just, like you said, I didn't think about it, but now it's just making me angry thinking about it.
Right, and the thing that's so frustrating is I felt like the death that they gave Chewie and C-3PO were both far more impactful than Han Solo's death.
Oh yeah, I think words are a hard time coming out of my mouth today. See, that wasn't even a real sentence. I think Chewie's death was amazing. Like, if they would have kept that, that would have been amazing. I did not expect that. It was emotional. It came out of nowhere, but in a good way, not necessarily a bad way. And that could have played a huge part in the film.
And, you know, the more...
But yet they just bring him back.
Right. And the more I'm thinking about it, I think, and I hadn't thought about this before, I think it all comes back to one root problem, which is that this movie is not bold. It takes zero risks. When you look at The Force Awakens is a safe movie. Everybody knows that. They were just trying to bring people back into Star Wars. Cool, all right? The Last Jedi, very, very bold in what it did. And it didn't pay off for them in a lot of ways because a lot of people hated it. I get that. But they've gone in the such opposite direction in this one, back to no risks. Because, I mean, tell me what about this movie is bold? That Rey is a Palpatine? Okay, well, they completely nullify that by the end, so that's not bold. They don't kill anyone of consequence except for Leia, who, for obvious reasons, really had to die anyway. This is, I mean, basically a paint-by-numbers movie meant to please everyone. And in trying to do that, they've made it so sanitized.
Well, they killed Kylo.
Yeah. They did.
I wasn't saying that was bold necessarily.
But that's not
just...
bold. That's not a risk. He's the villain. The villains always die.
You know what I kind of wish they would have done?
What you got?
I kind of wish Rey would have died and Kylo would have lived.
All right. So I'm glad you said that because this was one of my biggest things coming out of it the second time. Rey should have stayed dead. That would have been far more dramatic. It would have been far more interesting that her path brought her through all of this, and then ultimately it was her sacrifice to save her friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because coming out of this, Rey hasn't lost anything except for Ben, but she never really had Ben to begin with, right?
Yep.
She hasn't.
Well, she. I suppose she's lost Luke, though.
She lost Luke, but again, I would argue she never really had him that much.
Fair enough.
She did not have a good relationship with Luke. So I feel like it would have been way more dramatic. In fact, what I think should have happened thematically is that Kylo falls down, whole dies. Rey dies. Okay? That's option one. Everybody dies. Thematically, if this is supposed to be the... just listen. Okay. Listen. If thematically, if this is supposed to be the end of the Skywalker saga, the kind of end of this whole thing, at that point, the Jedi are gone, the Sith are gone. There is now balance in the Force because they're both gone, right? You don't have...
Oh, you're saying... Okay, you're saying still have the Emperor die... But have Rey die after she kills the Emperor.
So everything is exactly the same, except for Ben never comes out of the hole.
Okay.
So they all die. So that's option one. And I know a lot of people will probably be upset with that. So option two is basically what you said, where I think Ben could have survived. Ben could have crawled back up out of that hole, come up to her, tried to heal her the same way she healed him, and realized he can't. And then that's the sacrifice. That is, she's gone, and he has to carry on the legacy because, you know, she's... And that also is a consequence for him. Because, I mean, I guess a consequence for him is that his dad died, but that didn't really play into this a lot.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, him switching. But I think that dramatically, it would have been better if Rey stayed dead.
I agree. The only problem I have would be that wouldn't if Kylo stayed alive, it wouldn't be really the end to the Skywalker because he's a Skywalker, so that would have continued.
Right, and you know, and that's so if you want to go the route of in the Skywalkers, do the first one. But also, if you left Ben alive, that does leave you an out to continue that line, because. Even though they're saying this is the end of the Skywalker saga, I don't know if I really believe that. Especially the way the movie ends. I mean, Rey is not a Skywalker, but she walks away aligning herself with the Skywalkers, so they could do a whole other trilogy with her if they wanted to, and call it part of the Skywalker saga.
What I really wish would have happened so much, I mean, you talked about this, we talked about the possible inclusion of Grey Jedi, right?
Yeah.
What I really wish would have happened is you see Kylo ride the side between good and evil more than you see Rey. You know, Rey has dark visions, yeah, sure, but she never actually does anything evil. Whereas Kylo was good, and then he went evil, and then he went back to good. At the end of this film, what I would have loved to see is he actually become the Grey Jedi, because he has ridden good and evil, and Grey Jedi are all about, you know, keeping the balance. They're not necessarily good, they're not necessarily bad. They just want to keep the balance of the Force intact. And since Kylo has ridden both sides so heavily, it would have been such a cool dynamic to see him pushed into that Grey Jedi role, because he has been on both sides.
Yep, and that is also probably one of my biggest complaints about this film. Is one of the things that was great about The Last Jedi, and I don't really think anybody complains about this, is that it really focused on light versus dark and the balance between the two. Like Luke said, with powerful light, you have powerful darkness, right? They balance mm-hmm. each other out. And the whole message of that movie was that, you know, you have to have both. Like, one is not better than the other. It's a balance, right? But then you get to this movie.
Mace Windu's turning over in his grave. He's like, yeah, I was right.
And they throw all of that out. And they're like, oh, no, there's good is good. Good beats evil. Cool. Yeah, that's the way it should be. Because the good guys win. And it's like, well, you completely invalidated your point. Because you've made this so celebratory that the good guys won. But the good guys are still there, and they're still acting as good guys. So now there's an imbalance again. You haven't finished anything. There's no finality to it. You just have this unbalance again, and eventually something else is going to come up that's going to, you know, change that, shift it back towards the other side. I don't think that makes sense. I think they could have left most of this movie the way it is and made a slight change, like even with what we were saying, leave Ben alive and then make him go forth as a Grey Jedi, or don't even call him a Jedi, a Grey Force user. And that way, that's at least more of a finality than what this is.
Now, what about this? Picture this, okay? Ben doesn't arrive when he does arrive, okay? Rey and the Emperor are fighting. The Emperor hits Rey with some Force lightning, kind of, you know, scorching her clothes and scorching her a little bit. But then Rey actually strikes down the Emperor. By the time Kylo arrives, Rey has fulfilled what the Emperor wanted, and she has embraced her dark side, and Kylo and Rey have to fight, but yet they've switched sides now, and Kylo comes out victorious and killed Rey.
I think that would have been better. Yeah. I think that would have been far more dramatic. Because through this whole movie, like, I was actually questioning, is she actually going to turn? Because she's getting angrier and angrier and angrier, you know?
I would say one of the biggest surprises in this whole movie is whenever she shot lightning.
Yes. I was like,
what?
Which I didn't even realize. Courtney brought this up the second time we saw it. That's a foreshadow that she's a Palpatine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was talking to Nick, which helped us in our Halloween episode do our intro. He was talking about how when he saw the movie, he saw the Force lightning. He literally looked over at his girlfriend, and his girlfriend has never seen a Star Wars movie, okay? Never. He looked over and he said, she's a Palpatine. I don't care what you say. She's a Palpatine. And his girlfriend's like, well, yeah, okay, but what's a Palpatine? He was like, I'll explain it later. No time.
Right. And so for me, I didn't take that to mean anything, because growing up with Star Wars, Force lightning is not a Palpatine only thing. It's mm-hmm. a dark side thing. But in the mm-hmm. movies, we've only ever seen Palpatine use Force lightning.
Exactly. And when I watched it, I took that as, oh, you know, she was so emotional. She still doesn't have complete control over the balance of light and dark.
Right.
Like they were leaning on in The Last Jedi.
Exactly. And watching it a second time again, there's even a line when Kylo's talking to her one of the times where he's like, I pushed you because I wanted you to see. The first time, I didn't understand what that meant. Going back to it, he's saying he pushed her because he knew that would happen. He wanted her to see that that was her lineage, which was kind of a cool thing. I wish it was a little bit more clear the first time you see it, though.
Yeah. All right. I want to hit some of the things I don't like about this really quick.
All right.
Okay. One of my top things I don't like the Knights of Lynn. Coming into this movie, I was so incredibly excited to see them. I thought it was really, really cool that Kylo was able to take some people away from Luke and turn them to the dark side. And I was really excited to see how they interacted. But in this movie, like I think you said this, they're just there really to sell toys.
Yeah, they are. They don't really do anything. And, you know, originally these were supposed to be people, I think, that came from Luke's training camp. I don't think they are anymore. I think that's been retconned. Because if they were, they would have force powers, which they never use. They don't really use any kind of lightsaber or Jedi-like weapon. And when Kylo is facing them down, he doesn't seem to have any connection to them at all. No bond with them, nothing. They just seem like expendable people. So I don't really think that they're supposed to be people from Luke's camp.
See, I thought maybe he just took new students. So they didn't really have time to become proficient with the Force. He doesn't really have time to have a true connection because he was so busy doing aliens for Snoke that it's not like they had a lot of time to bond or whatever. They just saw that he struck down Luke and they saw that he was the stronger one, so maybe they went with him.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's how I took it.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't need to be here in any case.
All right, next thing I didn't like. R2-D2 did not have an ending in this. Like, R2-D2 was with the Skywalkers all along. He should have had an ending in this, whether he died or whether he was at the end with Rey or something. He should have been there, and he's just nowhere to be seen. And that's, like, actually infuriating because... Like, that's actually super stupid because C-3PO kind of has an ending, even if it is stupid. You need to give R2-D2 one too because he's been there just as long.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't remember if he's anywhere at the end or not, but I think out of everyone else that they had to give an ending, he's probably the least important.
I don't know. I feel like he's actually had so many big moments in the Star Wars franchise, if you think about it. You know, he's stopped ships from crashing, whether it was piloted by Luke or whoever. He's tossed Luke his lightsaber when he was, you know, up on the sand dune ship or whatever, saving Luke's life. He projected the map at The Force Awakens. He's done so many big things. I feel like he should have had a part in this ending more than C-3PO, actually, because he's done way more to help than C-3PO.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess because he hasn't been such a big part of this trilogy, I didn't really mind.
It was something that I thought about after. Watching the movie, I wasn't thinking about it. But thinking about it afterwards, I was like, okay, well, that was stupid. Moving on again. Me and you talked about this. Where was Luke's green lightsaber?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a big plot hole. He didn't have it in the last one. It's somewhere. Who knows? Maybe it was destroyed.
I really wish I would have seen it. Something cool that me and Caleb said. I really wish Rey would have taken the two blue lightsabers and would have taken R2-D2 or something. And I wish she would have combined the lightsabers, kind of like her dark vision was, where she had her double red lightsaber, but they swung around to be like single-sided, but two lightsabers. And then when Ben shows up, it would have been really cool to see like R2-D2, you know, launch like the green lightsaber out, because that shows, you know, Luke was his teacher. He's taking, you know, a part of Luke and ending the saga with it. I don't know. That's nitpicking right there.
Yeah.
But I just thought it would have been cool. Let's see. What else? I feel like Finn and Poe, they have a, like, friendship in this movie, but I feel like if you look at the story as a whole, especially Poe doesn't really have a storyline that much. Finn does more, but Poe really doesn't.
Are you talking about across the trilogy?
Yeah.
Finn's story is really across The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. when mm-hmm. he learns that you have to do more than just go out and be a flyboy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think he has a story here so much, except that, well, it's kind of an extension of that, where he's kind of taken that ruling and he's going into being the general now. Although the first thing he does is take the fight to them, so I'm not sure he's learned anything.
Yeah, like that's the exact thing that Leia told him not to do in The Last Jedi.
But given also, the circumstances, I mean, it's probably okay.
Also, him being a general and him giving Finn generality too, which is totally not the word, but it sounds cool. what happens if they disagree? Who do you follow?
That's part of the process, man.
All right. This is one of the last things that I have that I didn't like. I really, really wish, me and you talked about this, I wish we could have seen more Force Ghost here, but I specifically wish we would have seen Anakin's Force Ghost.
That was probably my biggest disappointment. I didn't come into this movie with a lot of preconceived notions about what I wanted, but what I did really want to see was Force Ghosts. And for a second, I thought we might get them when all of them are talking and she stands up. I thought they were going to appear behind her. Mm-hmm. They didn't even have to be in focus, but even just take footage from some of the previous eight movies and just stick them back there. I thought that would have been a really nice visual, because Palpatine has basically his army of Sith around. You know, that would have been a nice thing to offset it, but mm-hmm. it didn't happen.
Now, what if, I totally just thought about this, this may be an off idea, what if when Rey starts to overcome, chills. What if Rey starts to overcome the Emperor, you know, and she's stepping closer, all the Sith in the background jump down and start like to come over to help the Emperor? What if all the Force Ghosts from the previous Jedi appeared and they were fighting in the background to protect Rey as she was killing the Emperor?
I think that would have been too much.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. But it just sounds cool, you know? Like, sounds so cool.
I think it would have not made a lot of sense, and it would have had more questions than answers.
It just sounds so cool, you know?
Yeah, it does sound cool.
All right, here's a question for you. What do you think about General Hux's, you know, betrayal to the First Order?
Oh, I felt like that made complete sense. I've seen some articles where people are like, why would he do this? And it's like, what do you mean, why would he do this? He's hated Kylo Ren since the first movie. This makes mm-hmm. nothing but absolute sense for me.
Now, what do you think about him, you know, like, dying straight afterwards?
That's fine. I don't care.
Yeah, that totally made sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, even if you get blasted in the leg, they're going to know, you know, because they're going to know.
Something that, you know, I didn't think made a lot of sense, though, is the dude that shoots him. I think mm-hmm. his name is General Pride. Who is he supposed to be? Because he's so, like, as I served you in the previous wars, I will do so again.
I was looking at him. He is strikingly familiar to someone that's in the originals. Obviously, he's not, but he looks strikingly familiar to one of the characters that are in
there. You're talking about Grand Moff Tarkin.
No, not him.
Oh, okay.
No, he looks really familiar to one of those. I read something, and someone thinks that is him. Actually, they just casted an actor that looks similar. And I forgot his name, but he sits around the table whenever Darth Vader's like giving orders and stuff. Hmm. He's one of the generals in there.
Well, I don't think that made a lot of sense. In fact, there's a couple things like that they bring up and they don't really talk about I think don't make any sense. Things like, What is a dyad in the Force? You just made that up and you don't explain it. And now it's mm-hmm. a magical thing. How is Palpatine back? I mean, that's a little less crazy for me, because I can logic why he would be back. But this other guy who he is, it's almost a retcon that, or it is really a retcon that Leia had Jedi training, which I think for a lot of people will make her scene in The Last Jedi easier to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But if she had that training, surely it would have come up before now.
But then again, she stopped training and she told Luke she'd continue it whenever she felt like the time was right. So maybe she wasn't proficient enough. And like Luke said, sometimes in times of, you know, like disparity, you can use the Force, you know. So maybe she wasn't proficient enough to use it all the time, but whenever she came at a moment when she was about to die, she was able to like reach in and pull it out.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. That's fine. And I don't have a problem with her having training. It just seems weird that it hasn't come up before.
And I agree. I do like how... I do like how we found out she had training and then she was training Rey. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, coming into this, I did think that Luke would be training Rey as a Force ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they didn't do that, considering that probably would have made some of the stuff easier between her and Leia because of the footage issue.
True.
But, like, it's fine, you know. I don't have any issues with it, really.
Now, here's a question. You know Janna, the character that rides the horse? Is that Lando's daughter?
I don't think so. There was a lot of speculation going into this movie that she was, because they're both black. Duh.
Well, that's not even the way I say it. I say that. I say it because at the very end, he sits down with her, and he's like, so where are you from? And she tells him, she's like, oh, I don't know who my parents are, though. And he's like, well, let's find out. Like...
Yeah, no, I don't think that's him telling her that she is his daughter. I think that's them setting up a spinoff series with Janna.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, that's one of my notes. Are they going to do a spinoff series with Janna?
I see. Hmm. Well, I have some just quick remarks, and then I'm done. You can say whatever you want, all right?
Well... Fine. Okay? Just be that way.
No, I'm just saying, I had a friend actually text me, and he told me some of his issues with Star Wars, so I kind of wanted to bring a third party in about this movie, okay. Just really quick.
Sure.
Right? Okay. So, first off, he said, you know, where did all those people come from that were on the fleet of all the Star Destroyers? Which is a really good point.
Yeah, I thought about that going into it the second time, you know? And from what I can gather, Palpatine actually came back very soon after he died in Return of the Jedi. Because based on the timeline this movie sets forth, he's alive when Rey is a child.
Mm-hmm.
Which can't have been too long after that movie. So he's basically been sitting out there for 30 years or something. And they talk about his followers in this movie. So I think that somehow some people, he went out, found people, and they became his followers. And then he's just been gathering people secretly because they are in the outer reaches of the known galaxy.
True.
And I think he's just been amassing them for 30 years. And if you have 30 years, that's a long time.
I was assuming that he was just cloning people. Because he had been cloning Snoke, I just assumed he used the same technology to make an army of clones.
Yeah, that makes sense too.
Yeah. Okay. Second, this one I kind of talked to him about, but he still had an issue with it. So I'll read his text. He said, Palpatine is supposed to be a little sociopath. Like, that is literally part of his character. He doesn't care about anyone but himself. He killed his family, so it doesn't make sense why he tells Rey to strike him down and claim his place on the throne. And I said, well, you know, that was his plan for Darth Vader too, but it actually wasn't. He tells Luke to strike Darth Vader down to become the Emperor's right-hand man. So
we have no knowledge that Palpatine killed his family.
I guess that was actually I don't know if that's in one of the original movies or if... That was before Disney bought it and it was in a book. I know I've definitely seen it before.
It's not in a movie. The only thing that I can think of that would be referring to is when he's talking about Darth Plagueis the Wise, there is a theory that Plagueis was his master and he killed him. But
maybe he's talking about like a book before Disney bought, which now isn't canon anymore.
I don't know, but I'm also pretty sure that at some point in the originals he was trying to get someone to strike him down. I think he even
that's what I thought.
I'm pretty sure he tried to get Darth Vader to do it.
That's what I thought, but he said, oh, I thought he only told Luke to strike Darth Vader down, and I couldn't remember for sure.
No, I think he did both. Okay. The Palpatine's plan in this movie is pretty muddy, and that's actually one of probably, I keep saying it's one of my bigger things. But that's one of my bigger issues is his plan, because he tells Kylo Ren to kill her. But we find out at the end that he didn't actually want her dead. He wanted her to come there. So did he know Kylo Ren wasn't going to kill her? Or was it just a guess?
I think he thought that Rey was stronger than Kylo Ren. So if Kylo actually tried to strike Rey down, she would end up killing him, and she cared about him, which would thrust her furthermore into the dark side.
Okay, and I guess I could go with that. But if we go by the logic that he knew Kylo Ren wouldn't be able to beat her, he knew what Kylo Ren was thinking, which is kind of backed up by the fact that he said he's been every voice in Kylo Ren's head, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he know Kylo Ren was there at the end?
See, then I think he's so focused on Rey. Like, this is what he wanted to happen. He's so focused on Rey at this point, because this is what everything has been leading up to, this encounter with Rey, that he's not paying attention to what else is happening, because he has his fleet, you know, leaving, or trying to leave. He thinks Rey is about to strike him down. He's not paying attention to anybody else at that point.
I don't know. That's not a big deal for me, but it seemed a little odd thinking back about it, because he's surprised when he sees Ben there, but I thought he should have been able to sense him when he got there.
True. And then this is the very, very last one. It's super short. He made a really good point. He said the movie just destroyed the Chosen One prophecy. It isn't Anakin that destroyed the Sith now, it's Rey, and she's not a Skywalker.
Yeah, well, there's always been issues with the prophecy. But the prophecy doesn't actually say it's a Skywalker.
That's true.
The prophecy just talks about someone who will bring balance to the Force. It doesn't even say destroy the Sith. And this is kind of where I'm like, if you're trying to tie everything together, this is where you actually end with that balance. But they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah, one thing that I think could be an issue moving forward is they use the healing thing a lot in this movie.
Yeah.
And my argument for that would have been, well, only Rey and Kylo can do that because they're the special dyad thing, right? And at the end, when Palpatine sucks out their life force, the only way he's actually able to return to his former glory is because of that. He didn't realize that was the case before then. That's what brings him back to life.
Mm-hmm.
But that's completely shot down by the fact that, spoilers for The Mandalorian, Baby Yoda does that.
Yeah. That's considered canon, right? In The Mandalorian too?
Yeah.
I figured.
Anything that's released now is canon.
Hmm. Weird.
I know.
Yeah. I want to know the limitations of it. Like, at what point... It seems like Kylo even brought Rey back from the dead. Now, maybe that one is because of the dyad relationship or whatever, but I want to know the limitations. And, like, if you... Obviously, if you heal someone so much... I think what actually happened is Kylo put his Force life into her, and that's why he died. Like, I don't think normal people could do that. So I guess if someone is so badly hurt or so close to death, you can't bring them back because you're having to use your Force and physically put it into them to revive them. And if you don't have enough, then you can't.
No, I get that. But
no, I'm trying to talk myself through it. I'm not like...
Yeah. Like, you're basically giving away some of your life.
Yeah.
But what has stopped Jedi from doing that before?
Maybe they weren't strong enough?
I mean, it's weird to me that Rey knows how to do this when she has had very limited training and limited mentorship, yet the Jedi at their height didn't know how to do this. Because if they did, they could have saved Qui-Gon.
Maybe it's a kind of thing like evolution of humans, right? They weren't able to do it before, but as the Force has evolved from generation to generation, maybe this is a new acquired skill. And I don't know for a fact that Rey knows she can. I think she was trying, and it just happened to work. it didn't seem like she knew that she absolutely could. Because when she heals a snake, she's very, like, careful, and she looks at it, and she looks at the snake again, and then she looks at it, and it seems like she's thinking, you know...
I mean, I get that, but you're telling me she's the first one in history to think that she could do that?
No. I'm saying that's why I said the evolution of force as well. You know, like, humans have evolved over, you know, millennia, and even, like, in certain decades, you can see different evolutions in humans. Maybe the force is the same way. You know, as the force has been used and masters have been teaching their apprentices, and it slowly started to move on from generation to generation, maybe there's been an evolution somewhere where certain individuals are able to do force powers more often. And also, this is actually not the Force Jedi, but I'm about to destroy your whole thing. The Emperor tells Anakin that his master was able to bring people back from the dead. When they're sitting in the Senate chambers.
Yeah, but my point is that how can she do it? How can she and Kylo and Baby Yoda do it with such little training when even, like, we've never seen Yoda do that?
But we also haven't seen a lot of Yoda's life.
I don't know. I could be swayed, but that's my thought right now.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. Last thing I think I have, or I've got two last things. How do you feel about the I am all the Jedi and I am all the Sith thing?
I don't know. The only reason I semi like it is because they are the last remaining Jedi and Sith. So whenever they say they are all the Jedi and all Sith, then that makes sense because they are. But then the Emperor says he's all the Sith that came before him, which I don't know if he's just trying to say, you know, like, I'm so powerful that, like, or like, I have the vision in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But for Rey to say I'm all the Jedi, that makes sense because, I mean, she is. Like, she's all the Jedi.
Like, yeah, that's kind of what I thought. Like, it makes sense for her to say that because she's all of them. She's the only one left. And for Palpatine, I think in one of his lines, you could use the same logic. But when you think about his other line where he says something like that, plus everyone around him, it actually seems like, no, he actually does have the spirit of all the Sith in him. And my question at that point is he, like, undying? Like, has he been around since the beginning of the Sith? Is he the progenitor of the Sith and he will keep coming back and that's why he's all of them?
Or, is he actually Plagueis?
Right? Or is it something where it's like, if you become the Sith Master, all of the Sith go into you? Or is it just something because he is so powerful, he has figured out a way to do this?
I think he's just cocky. I think that was just a power say. I don't think that's necessarily
I would have agreed with you if it weren't for all the robed figures.
Yeah, I don't know what those were at all.
I think they're like Force echoes. They're like the representations of the Sith inside of him because they're in the special place.
Interesting. What's your other point?
The kiss. I hate the kiss.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely hated it. Wish they would have just bumped heads and that would have been it.
I think they could have had like a really nice hug.
Oh, hug, yeah. Just the kiss was way... Their relationship... definitely did not come across as significant others as love interest. It definitely came across as more of siblings, not even because that's like was a potential idea. I just have always thought the relationship seemed more like siblings.
Definitely. I totally agree with you. I think they're more like siblings, which is why I think the hug would have been fine.
Yeah.
I
agree.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
I do not have anything else.
All right, well, that was that, and this is this. It's time for What You Been Up To.
I watched some of My Hero Academia at your house.
Very good.
That's literally it.
Yeah, I haven't done much either.
Wait! That's what I've been up to. What you been up to?
Not much. I've seen Star Wars twice. Nice. We did go see Jumanji yesterday.
Oh, how was that?
It was all right. Courtney really liked it. Everyone else in the theater really liked it. I thought it was fine. Yeah. The first one's way better.
I get that.
Yeah. But that's pretty much all I've been up to.
Well, you know who else is all of the Sith and all of the Jedi at the same time?
Will that be Mr. Poole?
That would be Mr. Poole, because he is very cool. Go ahead and go on and check out Taylor Poole. He is the one that did our intro music and our outro music. We really like it. You can check him out at taylorpoolemusic.com. That's T-A-Y-L-O-R-P-O-O-L-E music.com.
Also, please go check out our friends over at the CNC Power Hour, where they stream Magic the Gathering and video games all throughout the week. You can find them at Twitch at twitch.com/C, the letter N, C, Power Hour.
And while you're at it, go ahead and check out on our website to view the past 100 episodes. And that's cuzwenolds.com, CZWELENERDS.com.
Thanks for listening to Cuz We're Nerds. Stay up to date with all the nerdy news and podcast drops by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also leave us comments and feedback at cuzwerenerds@gmail.com. That's CUZWERENERDS. And as always, if you enjoy this podcast, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. As always, stay nerdy.
All right, Caleb. I'm going to give you a sentence. You have to do your best Yoda impression.
Oh, boy.
Okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to give it to you in normal English, and you're going to have to convert it and do your best Yoda impression.
I think you stole this from Good Mythical Morning.
I think I definitely did. So, we're going to go, your sentence is going to be, come to the dark side, we have cookies.
But Yoda's not on the dark side.
So, this is evil Yoda.
Okay. To the dark side, you must come. Cookies, we have.
That was really good, actually. Oh, man, that was really good. Wow. Okay.
Thanks.
Respect. Wow. That was way better than I thought that was going to be.
Is that the only one you got?
Yeah, I just came up with that on the cuff.
Cool. You know? Well, the other thing that I wanted to grace all of our listeners.
Wow, you're not going to ask me for mine. Wow.
I thought you said that was the only one.
No, I was just messing with you. Continue.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to grace all of our listeners' ears with is a little funny something that Chris from the CNC Power Hour mentioned to me probably about a year and a half ago at this point. He said, hey, you know, it's really funny how you every once in a while just break out into random song on your podcast. And I'm like, what? I do? And he was like, yes. And then he listed all the times and I was like, oh, you're right. And he said, you know what? At the end of the year, you should put together a thing where it's just all of the music that you guys have sung on the podcast. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And then I didn't. But guess what? Aww. Today, we have that. We have all of the times we have broken out into song for the last 100 episodes. And
no way.
For your listening pleasure, here it is. Enjoy.
Heck yeah.
And in true Cuz We're Nerds fashions, I think this deserves a song.
I'm a little ant man.
I don't think that's the theme song.
But it'd be a good one.
Doctor Strange.
That's right.
Doctor Strange.
Uh-huh.
Doctor Strange.
That's right.
Doctor Strange.
Come with me now.
Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah.
Doctor Strange.
Uh-huh.
Doctor Strange.
That's right.
Doctor Strange.
That's right.
Flash! Oh! He's incredible! Gordon!
That's actually the theme song.
That was close.
Queen did the soundtrack.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's actually awesome.
Savior of the universe!
dun 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 dun.
Welcome back.
No, I can give that. So basically, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. So basically,
and I think they've done a good job of transitioning back to having Thor be Thor.
Macho Man?
Yeah.
What happened to Jane Foster?
Macho Man.
She died and then became alive in, like, the next comic.
All right, so you guys have seen Tarzan, right? Like, the animated Tarzan
The Disney?
One. Yeah, Disney. The classic. The good one, all right? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So you know the band camp, the Breaking the Band, that one where the monkeys are in? All right, Blaine, start us out.
Boom.
If you haven't had cancer, you now will.
What? You can't have that in there.
Well, cringe levels over 9,000.
And we're
no.
You know, I could theoretically record this with my limiting software. Hold on.
Limiting software.
Even if you're not familiar with them, you might be familiar with one of their creations, Trogdor, the dragon with a beefy arm.
It is stupendous.
Trogdor!
That was lovely. Thank you for that.
That was really bad. My voice like cracked or something.
We should probably cut that. But we're not going to.
So much news. It's news time.
Chris, you got anything else we want to talk about on magic real quick?
He's thinking. That silence. Yes, thank you. That silence was me making sure I didn't miss anything fun.
Da 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 da.
No, I think we're good.
Oh, ho, ho, it's magic. You know. Never believe it's not so. That was terrible.
Yep. I tried to do as bad as I could. That's really bad.
Perfect.
The things I do for love.
Cut the check.
Just for you. Cut the check. We're done.
All right, Caleb, to now decide which has a better theme song, we will both sing the songs at the same time. Are you ready?
Oh, this is not going to work out.
3, 2, 1. I want to be
Digimon,
the very
digital monsters,
best.
Digimon are the champions.
No one
Digimon,
ever was.
Digital monsters, Digimon are the champions.
Is my real task.
Change
to train them is my
digital monsters.
Pokemon,
to
gotta catch them all.
Save the digital
something
world.
About a heart so true.
Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon are the champions.
The rest of the song, Pokemon.
Hello? Hello? I think I have just lost my partner in crime. Caleb. It says he is away.
Hello, my little pony, my precious pony. You'll always be in my heart. My little pony, my precious pony. You'll always be in my heart. The contest of champions.
But then it's an anime. She come not to time to come to lots of time. You know, there's like the different heroes.
Yeah, yeah. And then the ending is all like sad. It's like konnichiwa.
as it's like heroes like dying on the ground. But then it's upbeat again. But then it's like chipada. It's like all the heroes like clash into one.
Hero!
Hero battle! Contest of champion! That's a little racist. We should probably not cut that one out.
Well, I've been learning Japanese, so it's not racist if I say it.
No, it's not.
Contesto no champion.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Thank you. Sometimes, you just have to let it go.
Wow. Okay. All right. I quit.
Let it go. Let it go. Not holding on anymore. I don't think that's the right word.
That's definitely not.
That's all right. It shows that I'm not watching. Who is the character that is the most collecting person I know? And that is Ash Ketchum from the Pokemon anime.
Gotta catch them all.
Pokemon.
Gotta catch them.
I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. Dun, 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 to like catch it. Them is my real test. To train them is my cause. Dun, dun, dun.
I don't know the theme song, so I didn't want to like bump in and like say the wrong words. I know.
I will travel across the land. Searching far and wide, each Pokemon to understand the power that's inside. Pokemon!
All right, I'm pretty sure it says gotta catch them all next. I know that. You should be proud of me.
I don't think it does, actually.
Well, anyway.
Jacob.
Yes, Caleb?
Sing with me! When there's trouble, you'll know who to call.
Teen Titans!
From their tower, they can see it all. Teen Titans! When there's evil on attack, you can rest knowing they got your back. Because when the world needs heroes on patrol, Teen Titans, go! One, two, three, four, go! Teen Titans,
go! I like adding the last go.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can.
I'm a spider!
What are you looking up?
Just doing some typing.
For what?
Words.
Trying to look up the Spider-Man theme song? I was going to say I know it from my heart.
Go ahead.
I can whistle it.
Okay, sing it.
I can't sing it, but I can whistle it. You're welcome.
You've got the touch, dun, dun, dun. You've got the power.
Welcome everybody, to a very special mini episode.
Mini episode.
Of, Cause We're Nerds. Chris has walked in to the door.
Wait, how does this theme song go?
It's like Elvis. Sylvester.
No, yours.
Oh. Oh, now you got me all messed up. Da 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 da
Hello.
Just and welcome.
There we go.
We have another musical bit to add to Caleb's compilation at the end of the year.
Every time it opens, I think my house is falling down.
Jacob's house is falling down.
Falling down, falling down. Yeah, it's not good.
Oh, man. What a way to start. Earthquakes falling down. Man, it's like a tsunami times. At your place.
Man, it's... I'm going through so many emotions right now, just like this movie put me through.
Clean feed started. Preparing for intro. 3, 2, 1. Initialize intro. Ba-dum, bum, bum, ch. Another one bites the dust. Ah, ba-dum, bum, bum.
Another one bites the dust. So talked about the cat.
Meow.
That's right.
Meow, 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 meow.
How does the Doge feel about the cat?
Kimber.
He's very angry.
This is so sad. Zach is alone. He is alone by himself and nobody's here to hear him sing. I hope Caleb does edit this in. He will most likely miss this and he won't ever see this. And Zach's gonna sing to himself and he's so lonely and he's so sad. Cause his wife left him on a trip and he's all alone and he only has a dog to watch and he got locked out of art. And he got let out of the office the other day as a...
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road is... tough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed. Dun 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 to what the old man said. You got a friend in me. Crypto! The super dog. Crypto!
Really quick, do you remember there used to be a show, an animated show that was just the dogs of each superhero.
That's the theme song.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, then obviously you do remember it, Time Traveler.
The super dog, Crypto. The super dog. Bumbo way.
Oh, no. Okay. Okay. This video is actually really bad.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle.
Don't judge me.
The Jacob sleeps tonight.
I sent it to you. In the jungle,
the mighty jungle. The Jacob whines tonight.
So obnoxious. Woo,
just kidding. Oh, I just realized we're still recording on Clean Feed.
Oh.
That's gonna be funny.
Rangers, it's Morphin time. Lava Maroon, suit up. Aqua Blue Ranger, suit up. Seashell Turquoise, power up. Lava Red Ranger, suit up. Flower Ranger, power up. Rainbow Squad, roll out!
Give me a second.
Okay. That's all right.
New
world. Black
That's a really
noir.
Hard word for me to say.
Black noir. Okay. Black noir.
I thought about a character.
Black noir. Black noir.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I don't remember. But whatever the character was I was thinking of. I do like songs.
We are the champions, my friends. And we'll keep on fighting to the end.
Holds up candle, shuts lights off.
We are the champions. We are the champions. No time for losers, 'cause we are the champions of the world.